On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near to the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, where did you come? When did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day."
Thanks, Al. If you haven't met me, my name's Brendan. I'm one of the pastors here. Great to be with you tonight. How about we pray and ask God for help as we dig into his word? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we're going to see there is immense satisfaction that comes from your hand. Father, show us just how good this satisfaction is, that we would find the joy and the contentment that we so desperately long for. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tomorrow morning, many of you, your alarm will go off and you'll get up. And what will you do? You'll brush your teeth. Hopefully you've got some hygiene. You'll have a shower. You'll get up, get your clothes on, and you'll get ready to go to work. And then you'll probably fight a fair bit of traffic to go to work or uni or school. And all of this takes effort and energy. So why do we do it each morning? It's much nicer to sleep in, isn't it? Or to just bludge around at home and binge watch some TV. Why do we do it? Well, we do it because working gives us the lifestyle we want. Our work puts food on the table, or in the case of a uni student, you hope one day it will. Work pays the bills. It pays the mortgage. It gives us the holidays to Bali that we want to have. That's the only place worth going. It gives us the fun things, the entertainment that we love to do. It gives us the stuff we want to buy. We work long hours and we work hard because it gets us the good life. But here's the problem with the good life. Even when we have it, even when we get it, it's actually not as good as we thought. When you get the good life, you start to discover it's a bit hollow. It's a bit empty. It satisfies you for a bit, but not permanently. So what do? We tend to work harder and harder until we get the next thing that we really want because we think that will satisfy us. And we go round and round like this because there's one thing we never do. We never question our work and where it's what it's actually getting us. But tonight, Jesus is going to show us a better way. He's going to challenge us to work for, to seek for something more than we often look for. But before we do that, we've kind of got to see where we're at. Because what we've been doing is been working through John's Gospel. And here in John's Gospel, we're kind of, you know, it's a story about the life of Jesus. And we're at a certain point. And so we kind of need to see where we've come from. And last week, what we saw was Jesus supernaturally feeding thousands of people. He was showing them not how to get a full tummy. He was showing them that he has the power to provide for them. But sadly, the people there misunderstood Jesus. They kind of wanted a physical king, not a king who would lead them spiritually. They wanted a physical, fair dinkum kind of king. Someone who could work toward their freedom. The Jewish people at that time were slaves to the Roman Empire. And so they wanted, if Jesus could do miracles like feed thousands of people, man, that would be fantastic. He could feed their whole army and feed, you know, give them bread to trade and sell. I mean, they could buy awesome weapons. Or, you know what, if he can feed thousands of people, I bet he can do other cool miracles to the Romans as well. So for them, it was all about having this dream of freedom. But for Jesus, that's not what he came to do. And so he pulls away from them and he goes to the other side of the sea by walking on water. Now, for these guys who are left there, they think, man, we want our dream. We want Jesus to free us from the Romans. And so they continue to seek after him. Have a look at verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there and that Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. John's making the point very clearly, oh, Jesus didn't go in the boat. And they're kind of puzzled, where is he then? How did he... And so other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks, after Jesus had fed thousands of people. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. See, they're looking for Jesus. They want to find Jesus because they want their dream. They want freedom from the Romans. But when they meet Jesus, he wants to tell them their dream is all wrong. They're seeking the wrong thing. And here's what they should be seeking. Here's what we should be seeking. We should seek the bread that satisfies our souls. We should seek the bread that satisfies our souls. That's what Jesus is going to say to these guys first up. Take a look at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? You know, you didn't go in the boat. We're trying to work out what happened. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Did you notice how Jesus doesn't answer their question? Oh, where were you? And he goes, yeah, I'm not even going to touch that one. I want to point out to you something much more important. You missed the sign, the significance of what I was doing. Because your tummies are so full. You're so focused on material gain and living in this world that you're missing how good it is. What's in front of you? That there is something supernatural, a gift from God right in front of you. You're missing the fact that the next world is so much more important. And so have a look at the kind of warning Jesus gives in verse 27. Do not labor or work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. See, Jesus is saying, the signs I've done show that I have the authority to give you what matters, to give you eternal life. So don't pursue things that don't matter. Don't pursue things that perish. Chase after, seek the things that last, the things that truly will satisfy you. And Jesus is totally right, because a bit of flour, a bit of yeast, a bit of oil, you know, you put it together, make bread, they do perish. I remember seeing this firsthand in a very gross way. Back in my younger days, I forgot about a loaf of bread that I'd left on the counter, and I left it there for about a month. I remember opening up this loaf of bread and found the most disgusting mold I'd ever seen. It was like I created life. You know, it was incredible. Well, actually, it was death. But anyway, but it was horrible. It was disgusting because bread itself perishes. I mean, bread gives us life for a limited time when we eat it in a limited window. But it's limited because bread itself is decaying. All material things are decaying. None of them last. They rust, they rot, they mold. And what we've got to see is that our material world, whilst enjoyable, it's just a mirage. Have you ever seen those cartoons where you get the man and he's in the desert and he's super thirsty and he sees an oasis and he runs to it and runs to it, and he starts scooping water up into his mouth, and then the trance finally breaks and he realizes that he's just scooping up sand into his mouth, and he spits it all out. Well, that's kind of what it's like for us if we seek what perishes. And let me just show you how shocking this is, because consider this. See, Jesus is saying these things to people who, for them, bread was life. Bread was life. I mean, that's why it's such a powerful metaphor. Because for these guys, I mean, when we go and you know, you want to get some bread, you go down to Woolies, you go down to Coles, and if there's a drought on, don't worry, because Woolies and Coles are going to import some more bread from somewhere else. But for these guys, if there was a drought on, it meant starvation. It meant death. For them, bread was life. And yet Jesus is saying to them, yeah, while your work ethic is good, you're seeking after the wrong thing. By seeking bread that perishes, you're chasing the wrong thing. Seek what matters. Seek what lasts. Seek what satisfies. Now, the problem is we buy into the lie ourselves, don't we? We buy into the lie that this world is all there is. But Jesus' signs and his greatest sign of rising from the dead shows us there is life after this one. Putting food on the table, it's good. It's a good thing to do. But it's not the most important thing. And what Jesus is challenging us to do is to be more ambitious. Want something better. Our problem is we live in a culture of distraction. We live in a culture where we kind of get satisfied with something less. We've got the TV on where we're chasing after, you know, a better house. We renovate it. You know, you watch the old renovation show here and there. We get invested in our sports teams, and then we get crushed when they lose so horribly. We won't go there. And what Jesus is saying to us is we've got to stop being satisfied with distractions. We've got to turn off the TV and we've got to feast on Jesus in his word, because he's the only thing that gives us the life and the satisfaction we need. So what is it for you? What's your mirage? But even if we do feast on Jesus in his word, there's another problem. And that's that we can think satisfaction is something we can earn. Have a look at verse 27. Verse 27. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. See, what we need to see is that God gives the bread that satisfies our souls. God gives the bread that satisfies our souls. It's not something we earn. It's a gift. I mean, it's funny. Do you see how Jesus is putting two things together here? He's putting the idea of you've got to seek this thing. You've got to work for it. You've got to look for it. And he's putting that together with the fact that it's a gift. The best picture I could think of, it's a bit like Christmas morning. Do you remember Christmas morning as a kid? And as a kid, you'd get so excited, you'd wake up and you'd go, oh man, I can't wait to get my presents. And so you'd just run down and you would seek your presents. But your presents are a gift, aren't they? You're seeking something that is a gift. And that's what Jesus is showing us here. Have another look at verse 28. This is how the people with Jesus, they get it wrong. See, they've heard about Jesus saying, you've got to work for what counts. And look at verse 28. Then they said to him, well, what must we do to be doing the works of God? See, they want something to do. They want some way that they can earn this bread that lasts, this satisfying bread. But Jesus clarifies their misunderstanding. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. See, to believe in someone, that's not really earning it, is it? You're just taking them at their word. You're taking them at their word that they have done the work for you. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is not something you can earn. It's not something you can achieve. It's not something you can get on your own efforts. And so they ask, well, why should we believe you? Have a look at verse 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, why should we believe you, Jesus? You do a sign for us so that we know this is the way we should approach God. I mean, Moses, well, he did an amazing sign. He made bread come down from heaven. And I know we saw you do a sign the day before. You kind of multiplied bread. It didn't come down from heaven, but it's pretty cool. So do another sign for us, and then we'll believe you. But look at Jesus' response in verse 32. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. But I mean, Moses, he's just a mere man. If he was so good, well, why did he die? Why did he perish? He's just a mere man. Actually, who gave you the bread? Well, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread that they got in the wilderness actually came from God. But there's another bread that God is giving right now. And it's the true bread from heaven. This is bread that's so much better than the manna in the wilderness. Because have a look, verse 33. For the bread of God, well, it's a person, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of God is a supernatural bread that gives eternal life to people. It's a gift of God. It's something you can't earn. It's something God must graciously provide for you. It's a gift that you can't get for yourself. It's a bit like my recent trip to the snow. A couple of weeks ago, me and my family went to the snow, and we had a great time. I mean, the snow, if I could live anywhere, I would live on the snow. It is the best. There is nothing like going down Zali's, which is this awesome run, and because that's when I crash and plant my face in the snow. It's good fun, though. But here's the thing about a ski trip. There was no way I could afford it myself. Do you know how much it costs to go to the snow? It's insane. I mean, you know, if I wanted to go, I'd have to give up a kidney or something on the black market. It was like the lift passes are about $180 per day. Then the gear's kind of $140. Then you've got to hire the car to get to the snow. Then you've got to pay for the accommodation. And don't eat when you're at the snow. Because, you know, you just like, that's going to cost you a few thousand right there just for the food on the slopes. See, there's no way I could get a ski trip for my family. But thankfully, my dad, he's a little bit financially better off than I am. So he decided to pay for the whole thing. It was a gift that I couldn't get for myself. And what this is saying is that this bread from heaven, this bread that satisfies our soul, this supernatural bread, it's a gift that we can't get for ourselves. It's from heaven. It's not man-made. And therefore, it can't be earned. And it's out of our reach. If we try and work for it, we'll find we're not good enough to get it. God gives it if we believe him who he sent, Jesus Christ. And this is unlike every other religion in the world. Because every other religion in the world will say, yeah, seek eternal life, work for eternal life. But what we mean by that is you've got to earn it. You've got to be good enough. Only Jesus says, yes, you must seek eternal life, but you've got to seek it as a free gift. It's both. Do you know what? This, once you get this, it changes the way you live. Because I find it so easy for me to wake up in the morning and spend my day working at putting God in my debt, trying to somehow earn his love and his favour and eternal life. Oh, I did so many good deeds. Oh, I read my Bible for 3 hours and I prayed for three more. I was just incredible today. God must love me. Oh. But if you think like that, you're actually neglecting how bad you actually are. And you're neglecting how generous God himself actually is. We listen to Jesus not to earn grace, but to experience it. When we listen to Jesus' words, we find that he is so much kinder than we ever thought. But the satisfaction, the bread from heaven that God gives us, let me say, it's so much better than we think. But it wasn't for the people who were talking here with Jesus, because they misunderstood what Jesus was saying. Have a look at verse 34. They said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." So they saw that it was good. But you see that word always? See, they've misunderstood because they're still thinking in purely materialistic terms. They're thinking this bread from heaven is kind of like the fountain of youth or the Holy Grail. It's something that you have to keep eating or drinking to keep you alive. But it's only going to keep you alive physically. But Jesus is saying, this bread, it's not like that. This bread is a metaphor that you must feed on Jesus by faith. Because when you do, when you trust in Jesus, and when you take him in by trusting him, you'll be satisfied. See, that's the thing, a final thing we've got to see, is that Jesus is the bread that satisfies our souls. When you feed on him, you will find satisfaction. And you think about how incredible that picture is, that metaphor is. It's that bread or food gives us physical life, and Jesus is saying, I give you spiritual life. I give you life forever. Take a look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's not that you don't hunger or thirst physically. You still will if you're a Christian. It's that you will have that deep, lasting satisfaction in your souls. And I know many of you here felt it. I know for many of you, you were going through life, you didn't know Jesus, and then someone told you about him, and you became a Christian, and you just found that there was this contentment within you, this satisfaction that was so good, and it totally changed your life. And you think it's the best thing ever. And even though there are times where life is hard and bad, there's this deep-seated joy that comes from knowing Jesus. It's incredible. Jesus is the bread of life. And did you see in verse 36 that not everyone gets this, though? Have a look at verse 36. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. Oh, you've seen me, but you don't get the significance of what I'm doing. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. See, Jesus is saying, these guys don't get it. But thankfully, God is at work saving people, and nothing can stop it. Nothing can thwart his plans. And that's because Jesus is the bread that satisfies our souls. Actually, he's so satisfying and so powerful that his satisfaction lasts within us. Did you see that there in verse 37? That whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus is saying, because he's God, because he's the one who satisfies so immensely, he will preserve all who come to him. They will continue to be satisfied by him. I mean, he says it another way in verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. What he's saying is, even though we die in this world, we will live in the next. Because on that last day, when God judges everyone, he'll say, no condemnation, not guilty. You're right with me. You're right with me. You can come and enjoy life forever with me. And how is it that Jesus can say that? How can he do that? Well, it's because he came down from heaven into our physical world. God himself took on a physical body, flesh and blood. And he did it because a physical body can perish. By giving his life at the cross, Jesus gave us life forever. He was punished for all the times we ignore God and live as if only this world exists. All the times that we tried to find satisfaction in other things, where we've made God less than he really is. Jesus was punished for those times so that we could enjoy God forever. It's good news. So what about you? Have you come to Jesus, the bread that satisfies your souls? It's a free invite. It's open to anyone. Jesus is saying, whoever comes to me, you will never thirst. You'll never hunger. So what have we learned tonight? We've learned that we must seek Jesus, the bread that God gives to satisfy our souls. Coming to him, feeding on him by faith, changes everything. Let me show you how. See, here's the thing. If you haven't come to Jesus, tomorrow on Monday morning, you'll get up, you'll go through your routine and go to work with the lingering feeling that something's missing, with an emptiness in you, because you know that you're chasing a mirage. And you just long to be happy. But if you have come to Jesus, tomorrow on Monday morning, you'll get up and you'll go through your routine and you'll go to work with deep-seated satisfaction, because you know there's a God who loves you. The real you. Not the you that you kind of want everyone to see. He loves the real you. And it's a joy and a delight to know him. And he's a God who provides you with eternal life, with the good life forever. It's fantastic. Even a bad day at work can't take away that deep satisfaction. That's why it's so good to know Jesus. Let's pray.